I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Or you can listen to us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, that's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is bad. Bad as in not good. Both of my guests will be discussing bad contact amongst our leaders today. My first guest believes there's bad behavior happening right now in the White House. He gives the evidence behind President Obama's political tactics, his sweeping policies, his distrust of the pre-Obama America. Calling President Obama one of the world's most destructive leaders, my guest explores his calculated lies, personality flaws, and lapses in character. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. David Limbaugh is a lawyer, nationally syndicated columnist with Creator Syndicate, a political commentator, and author of two New York Times bestsellers. His latest book is titled Crimes Against Liberty, An Indictment of President Barack Obama. David is the brother of talk show host Rush Limbaugh. He lives in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, with his wife and two children. Welcome to the show, David. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Well, I am doing terrific. Thanks so much for joining us here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Now, your book is a thorough, and I do mean thorough, 500-page investigation of President Barack Obama. Much of what you write is strongly worded. Are you making the case that we should impeach President Obama?
No, I'm not. By the way, just so your listeners don't get totally turned off by the book, it's under 400 pages on the text, 100 pages is footnotes, so don't get too scared out there.
All right. But in relationship to the thoroughness, 100 pages of footnotes, you were very thorough in your research.
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying that. I just didn't want to scare them off. Okay, I'm not advocating full-blown impeachment or anything like that. I'm just trying to point out that he's systematically destroying our liberties, ruining us, financially, taking us into bankruptcy, undermining our national security, changing our position in the war on terror to a pre-9/11 posture where it's a law enforcement rather than a war mentality and approach, and that he's driving us over the cliff. And he does have a disregard for the rule of law. He has done some incredibly unconstitutional things and abused his power, and I could give you chapter and verse. But having said that, I'm not advocating impeachment. I don't want to sit around and fantasize over impeaching him like some of us did for Clinton for 8 years and meanwhile lost sight of the ball where we need to fight him on substantive issues. We need to alert the public to the damage he's wreaking on America and try to inform our neighbors and friends and fellow voters to peaceably remove these Democrats from office.
All right, now we have that opportunity coming up in November, don't we, David?
Yes, sir. And I really think there's going to be a sea change. I think the pollsters are underestimating. I don't think there's a way you can accurately poll this kind of tidal wave that's going to occur. There is a storm brewing in the body politic.
Oh, good.
Not just in the Tea Parties. We're seeing it everywhere, and independents are flocking away from this guy. So the thing we got to watch is that conservatives and Republicans become feckless and believe this nonsense about having to gravitate to the center themselves. They just need to articulate principled conservatism and leadership and restoring America's founding principles. Nothing extreme about that, and the public will come back.
Good. Now, David, in your book, The Indictment Against, Crimes Against Liberty, an Indictment of President Barack Obama, you have really compiled evidence that shows President Obama is anti-American. What is some of that evidence, and what is the underlying reason he is such an anti-American?
Well, he goes around, first place, he was raised by people who I think had a grievance against America. His mentor, Frank Marshall Davis, his parents, step-parents, grandparents, I think all had a distrust for America and America's capitalistic free market system. And Obama, since he's been in office, wants to make transformational change. This is radical change because he doesn't like the America that existed pre-Obama. There's no other conclusion that he doesn't like America and what it stands for. And then, as if there were any other doubt, he goes around the world apologizing for America when I think he ought to be bragging on America. If he loved America, he would be touting its great history of magnanimity, of being a charitable superpower, of after it defeats opponents and enemies in war, it rebuilds. It doesn't subjugate these people. We're not an imperialistic empire, but liberals, leftists like Obama, always instinctively, reflexively gravitate toward that position, which is America's in the wrong. You know, blame America first thinking. And it sounds cliched, but it's the truth. So for a host of reasons, I think that is Obama's orientation.
Very good. We're talking to David Limbaugh, everybody. His book, Crimes Against Liberty. In your book, you write that President Barack Obama is an ideologue, that he will push his agenda through no matter what the cost. What do you mean by that? And do you think President Obama is destined to be a one-term president?
Well, I don't think there's any destiny here other than in God's from God's perspective, but we certainly don't know what that is. I think that he is an ideologue. There's no question he's a committed ideologue, to the point that he crammed Obamacare through cheating, breaking the rules, bribing, paying senators off, contravening the rule of law and the Constitution and the legislative process, and then after he did it, he claimed victory for the American people, as if 25% of the people that supported this guy and his shenanigans constituted the American people. I mean, I don't know who he's talking about, but he crammed that against our will, as he is doing with so much of his agenda. He's either tone deaf or he doesn't care, and he's hell-bent on passing his agenda, and I think it's all part of his grandiose vision as a narcissist. I mean, a full-blown narcissist who sees himself on a singular mission, single-handedly, to transform this country, and he will even do it at the risk of not winning re-election. I think he feels that strongly about it. Bill Clinton never would have gone that far, even though he was an ideologue himself. He was first and foremost a guy who loved self and needed adulation. Obama's narcissism isn't so much in wanting self-love and approval. His is wanting to enact and effect grand change for America. And he actually is delusional enough to think that he can do it. He can do that, but delusional enough to think that he can bridge gaps, for example, in the abortion question, that he can appear at Notre Dame and pronounce some middle ground on abortion, and all of a sudden the entire United States will have a collective aha moment and realize, oh, yes, we do agree. Or he can go to Cairo and say, and single-handedly bridge the gap between the Muslim world and the United States, or the Middle East and the United States, and suddenly we're all going to be singing Kumbaya together. It's scary, his opinion of himself versus his achievements. As Charles Krauthammer said, there's never been a disconnect between a man's opinion of himself and his list of paltry achievements.
We're talking to David Limbaugh, everybody. His book, Crimes Against Liberty. David, you're taking us down this path. I want you to delve into it a little bit further. Give us some examples of President Obama's actions that are disconcerting to you. Particularly, you imply that he has personality traits that make him to be unfit to be president. What are those traits, and why do you say that?
Well, I was talking about his narcissism, his arrogance, his high-handedness, his lack of empathy, his coldness, his inappropriate behavior, his bullying, his lying. He lied about who he was en route to getting to the office. He said he was post-partisan, post-racial, going to bring in a new kind of politics. And instead, he's been the most partisan as Peter Beinart called him, a super jumbo Democrat. He has been a bully. He calls bankers fat cat bankers, which is just so unpresidential and embarrassing, I can't hardly describe it. He describes insurance company profits, which were mainstream profits, not excessive. He calls them excessive and obscene. He takes over automakers, and in the process of restructuring Chrysler and GM, subordinated the rights of secured creditors, which have priority above non-secured creditors, to those of the union. So he placed the union unsecured creditors against higher than the secured creditors, like 50 cents a dollar versus 10% on the dollar. And then after the lawyer for the secured creditor, Perella Weinberg, complained, Tom Loria, who is, by the way, a Democratic contributor, after he complained, Obama threatens that he's going to expose this client and going to humiliate them in public and hurt their reputation, at least his surrogates did. And so after Loria wouldn't go along and Perella Weinberg wouldn't go along with this coercion and this intimidation by Obama, he goes out and calls them a group of speculators who received government bailouts but won't sacrifice for the common good, when in fact they hadn't received bailouts and they were sacrificing at least 50 cents on the dollar, which secured creditors shouldn't have to do. And there was nothing greedy at all about what they were doing. It's outrageous. Senator Kyle in Arizona, and you can shut me up at any time, but let me get this one out.
All right.
Senator Kyle in Arizona sent Obama a letter saying, because the stimulus money you've spent thus far hasn't really stimulated much, do you think we could consider imposing a moratorium, a freeze on further stimulus spending, because we're bankrupting ourselves? Four cabinet secretaries simultaneously wrote several separate letters to Kyle immediately threatening to withhold Arizona's share of the stimulus fund in order to punish Kyle for having the audacity to suggest that they hold back these further spending money. That is the grossest kind of abuse of authority, as if it's their money to spend or withhold, as opposed to the taxpayers' money. It's really outrageous.
We're talking to David Limbaugh, everybody. His book, Crimes Against Liberty, An Indictment of President Barack Obama. I know, David, you've got to run, but one quick question before I let you go. You obviously have done a lot of research on President Obama, and I want to ask you in your book, where does constructive criticism begin and end, and where does divisive political rhetoric begin?
Well, I mean, I never know how to quite answer that question, because I think that you have to tell the truth, even if it sounds by definition polarizing. I mean, the Democrats and Obama have been polarizing since George Bush was in office, and it's not a tit for tat or a quid pro quo kind of deal. I think they are leading the nation on a path of destruction. So if you have a choice between holding hands across the aisle with people as the highest good, or doing what is right and restoring America's greatness and liberty tradition, I think you go with the latter. You go with principle as opposed to superficial harmony, because superficial harmony is not an end in itself. This isn't about Senate collegiality. This isn't about people getting along in Washington. This is about doing the right thing and bequeathing our children the same kind of America, which is robust in its liberty tradition, as our parents and grandparents bequeathed us. And it does not serve their interests or our interests to congratulate ourselves on being all warm and fuzzy and nice as the Titanic goes underwater. So I strongly advocate telling it like it is, hopefully not any more stridently than needs to be done. Please don't misinterpret my passion as anger.
No.
Or angst. It's just I feel very strongly about what I'm saying, and I'm not personally condemning anyone.
No, no, and we don't take it that way. We've been talking to David Limbaugh, everybody, about his book, Crimes Against Liberty, An Indictment of President Barack Obama. I know, David, you've got to run. If you've got some time you can hang over, that's great. But I just want to say to all my listeners, I've read the book from cover to cover. It is a good book. You want to pick this up if you want to get a lot of good factual information about what is happening right now in our political and our economic situation in the United States. David, do you have time to stay over, or do you have to run to another interview?
I see that I got another interview at 1:30, so I can stay over for a few minutes before that, and then we call them in. So, yeah, if you want me to for a few minutes, yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Well, you know, in your book, you've got one chapter that's titled The Liar. And you researched Barack Obama very thoroughly. What is President Barack Obama's biggest deception, in your opinion?
Did you ask me what are examples?
Yeah, what are examples of his deceptions?
Well, the first thing he did was fundamentally lie about who he is, as I said a minute ago, so I won't rehash that, about being a conciliatory guy and a guy that was postpartisan and post-grievance and all that type of thing. But beyond that, when he got in office, we saw that he was every bit as deceitful in office as he was running up to office. For example, he claimed he would be the most transparent administration ever, and at one point he didn't have a press conference for 300 days, more than 300 days. Remember, he promised he would post his bills on the website a minimum of five days in advance so everybody could read them for comment. Of his first 11 bills, all 10 of the 11, he didn't even come close. I think on one bill, some obscure bill, he arguably came close, but it was a cynical promise. He promised to televise on C-SPAN the health care debates 8 times. He's on videotape record saying that. He didn't do it. And then he made some excuse about it, like, oh, the Republicans would just rationalize and be opportunists if we did so. Boy, that you didn't qualify your promise when you made it. So what are you talking about? He said that he would usher in a new area of openness and ethics to Washington, and he would implement a rule about lobbyists, and even signed an executive order forbidding the lobbyists for 2 years from coming into the serving the branch that they lobbied for. He immediately wrote like 7 exceptions for that law, and his excuse for that was, well, these were uniquely qualified people. Well, of course, by definition, these people that are work in the field are qualified. It's like saying Tim Geithner's the only guy that can resurrect the economy. We know how that went. He had a practice of not only being non-transparent, but he smuggled provisions into bills that couldn't have passed on their own, such as the student loans being nationalized was folded into the health care bill, or he smuggled into the stimulus bill a noxious provision reversing welfare reform that all parties, Democrats and Republicans, considered overwhelmingly successful at reducing the rate of poverty, the rate of child poverty, especially for minorities. But this guy is such a committed liberal ideologue that he reversed welfare reform. I bet people don't even know that.
Hmm.
It's in the stimulus bill. What in the world is it in a stimulus bill for?
Hmm.
So he's had phony assertions of executive privilege. He says he wasn't going to create bipartisan commissions because they're a cop-out. He criticized McCain for passing the buck, and then he did it himself with his Fiscal Responsibility Commission. He said he wouldn't raise taxes in any form, I underline any form, on families of 4 making $250,000 or less. And then he presided over the passage of this excise tax, which hit lower-income families the hardest and middle-income families the hardest. And there are some 14 to 19 new taxes in Obamacare. He tried to pass what is, in effect, a full-blown energy tax in the cap-and-trade bill, and he's contemplating a VAT tax, which would hit everyone well under 250. He's dissembled about the nature of his promise, saying, well, I said 200,000, or I was just talking about income tax. No, you said across the board in any form.
Nope.
And he's violated it across the board. Same thing with earmarks. He said he would reduce them in half, and he's actually increased them. Actual numbers. Said he was a free market advocate. He's a free market opponent. I could go on, and I'll just bore you.
No, those are all good examples. We're talking to David Limbaugh, everybody. His book, Crimes Against Liberty. David, I know I've got to be respectful of your time. One final question before you go, though. If we continue down this path, what outcomes do you foresee? Give us some examples if we continue going the way we're going today.
Well, if we continue going where we're going, we, in short, will bankrupt the nation, and our children will not be able to enjoy the kind of prosperity or anything close to it that we have. They will not enjoy the economic freedom and opportunity for creativity and to unleash their own entrepreneurial spirit, and they will virtually be slaves of the state or some degree of it, because to the extent that you expand the government sector, the public sector, and diminish the private sector, you definitionally reduce freedom. And we are seeing Obama do that across the board. We're also seeing him make us vulnerable in the war on terror by treating it as a law enforcement matter instead of a war and reverting to the pre-9/11 mentality. He's contemplating actually unilaterally disarming us of our nukes. He's got this SALT treaty with Russia, but they have snookered us on this thing, and I don't think Obama cares. And he's now broadcast what our nuclear secrets are by revealing some of these papers, just like he's published our Army field manual and interrogation techniques, so that now the terrorists know how to train to resist the terrorists, the fact-finding techniques that we would use and which have affirmatively saved lives. So there are so many things that are happening now that are a horror show. It's hard to detail them.
Well, if you want to learn some of the details, pick up David Limbaugh's book, Crimes Against Liberty, An Indictment of President Barack Obama. It is a very thorough, well-researched, well-thought-out book about what's going on in our country today, both in our political arena and in our economic arena as well. David, I know you've got to run. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you for having me. I love that Billy the Brain thing. That's excellent.
Thanks, David. Take care now. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Bye.